worship in the Psalms. Throughout the Psalms, which happen to be the hymn book of the church in many, many centuries, there are continual calls to worship, to bow down, to kneel before God. We are His people. He is the Good Shepherd. He is ready to lead us by His hand, and we are fed in the green pastures. Worship, bow down, kneel. We are His people. Humility, acceptance. He is the shepherd. He guides us, He feeds us, He protects us, He brings us into the sure haven. Part number one deals with praise for God's goodness and power. What is goodness? Remember what Christ said? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Jesus is a good shepherd, He says, because He lays down His life. Goodness is self-sacrificial desire to benefit others. Extol Him, bless His name, praise His name, because He is good. He has given His life. He has given His Son. He has given everything. He emptied heaven. Then praise Him for His power. Power is the ability to decide and to do. What has God done? What has He not done? He has made heaven. He has made earth. When you say heaven, how many galaxies has He made? Hundreds of thousands of galaxies. The more man sees, the more man discovers what God has done. His planet is an utterly tiny little speck. Notice what Isaiah calls it, the small dust of the balance. I often go with my wife to the supermarket, and she sends me occasionally to buy onions and potatoes. There is on the scales a pan, and I take the sack of potatoes, and I put it on the pan, and I add a potato or take a potato, deciding on whether I want 10 pounds or 5 pounds or 15 pounds. There's one thing I've never done. I've never taken a Kleenex and cleaned out the dust at the bottom of the pan in case I am being gypped of part of a potato. That small dust in the balance is completely inconsequential. God regards this planet Earth as the small dust in the balance. And yet God, who made all these things, regards this small dust of the balance as of sufficient value to give His Son. Shouldn't we praise Him for His goodness and His power? Point number two, we praise God for His righteous acts. What is righteousness? Righteousness comes from the word rectus, the Latin for rule or straight edge. God lives according to law. God is law. Law is the codification of love. Love is the principle that establishes right relationships. Between every element, between parts of the element, electron, neutron, proton, all the parts of the atom, all the parts of the elements related one to the other, the parts of our body related to each other part, the bones, the nerves, the muscles, all the systems carefully related, carefully balanced, the relation of plants to their altitude, to the difference in air pressure, barometric pressure, ecological differences. God has set these relationships up. Fish that are capable of swimming very deep down in deep oceans, others that must stay near the top. His righteous acts, all the laws that He has established that maintain the starry bodies, the heavenly bodies, maintain this earth in all its myriad relationships, that set up righteous acts for me in my past history, the history of my family, my culture, of my religion. Let's praise God for his righteous acts. Now, in order to praise him for his goodness and power and righteous acts, we must think about them. What I'm doing is to recall why he is righteous, why he is good, why he is power. He's helpful to strangers, to the fatherless, to the widows. The relationship of the wicked turned them upside down. He is the judge, he is the king. See, he maintains every relationship. And as I think of that, I can praise him. Point number three, I can praise him for his grace, his favor to Jerusalem. Grace is the unmerited, favorable power that takes into consideration my ineptitude and weakness and Christ's majesty and success and shares that success with me. You remember Paul said, I want my eyesight to be restored, my thorn in the flesh to remove. God says, my faith, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul responds, fine. I will allow the power of God to take hold of me. My weakness gives his strength more spaciousness to work. I can praise God for his grace that takes my ineptitude, my weakness, my ignorance, my foolishness, makes me adequate to fulfill his design, to carry out his scheme. He builds Jerusalem. He calls the outcasts. He transforms the sinners. He makes new creatures. Jerusalem is a church. God builds it. God brings into it the strangers, outcasts, sinners, prodigals. His grace is powerful. Point number four, all creation is exhorted to praise the Lord. In order to praise, we must concentrate on his virtue. Angels in heaven concentrate on his virtues. What has God done? What is he doing now? What has he done for me in my life? What is he doing now for me in his life? What does he hold out for me tomorrow? As I concentrate on God as the Creator, I can praise him with an open, joyous heart. Point number five, God's people, Israel, is exhorted to praise the Lord in a new song in the congregation. When you come to worship, have you got a song in your heart? Are you grouchy? Get up late? Did the struggle to get to Sabbath school bring about so much friction in the family that you got no song? Israel is to rejoice in the Creator who made him. He is to remember the Sabbath as the memorial of the making. He is to remember that now the Creator is his King. And in the congregation, in corporate worship, he must praise the Lord. So many times we stand in church and let somebody else do the singing. Israel is exhorted to praise the Lord. Part number six, a call to praise with music. In Israel of old, there were many musical instruments. In fact, it isn't the musical instrument, but what's done with it that makes it questionable. In the sanctuary, there were drums and cymbals and horns and flutes, harps, all kinds of instruments. Stringed instruments, wind instruments, percussion instruments, timbrels. Everything that had breath was praise the Lord. In fact, they had invented some kind of dance that was acceptable to God. Nowadays, dance is associated with anything but worship, except perhaps some primitive tribes, if you might call it worship. It's got overtones of ideas that are highly questionable. We wouldn't want to worship God with the kind of dances that are tied in with overtones of sex. But in God's worship, there were evidently some kinds of movement that were praising to Him. And the psalmist says, sing, worship with the dance. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The emphasis in this week's lesson is on concentration of God's various attributes that should lead to a worship of the Creator and an ascribing to Him of worthiness.